Verse 28, and when they, and it just shows you how you can get the crowd's attention. And when they heard this, they were filled with rage. And they begin crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" They got this thing going. The city was filled with confusion. They rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging some of Paul's traveling companions. Paul wanted to go into this meeting, and they were going, "There's no way you're going in there. We're not letting you get in this. This is like, they're stirred up." So verse 32, some of them are shouting one thing, some of them are shouting something else, for the assembly was in confusion. The majority did not know for what reason they'd even come together. Some of them just gone along because this was just a big thing going down and wanted to be a part of it. So some of them, it says 33 of the crowd, concluded that it was Alexander, since the Jews had put him forward, and having motioned with his hand, Alexander was intending to make a defense to the assembly. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, a single outcry arose from them all, shouting for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis the Ephesians." This got him going that much more because he was a Jewish guy. Now they're going, "Oh, there's something going on here. This is plot. This is a plot against not only Artemis, this is a plot against our city. This is a plot against our money making. We all make money and sell these all over the place in Asia Minor." You know, it's like, it's just it sounds like American politics to me, sort of. Verse 35, and after quieting the crowd, the town clerk said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there, after all, who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of the image that fell down from heaven? So since these are undeniable facts, you ought to keep calm and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of the goddess." He's trying to say, okay, they're not what you think. "And then if Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against any man, the courts are in session and proconsuls are available." You know, some lawyers, people doing things. "Let them bring charges against one another. But if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in a lawful assembly." Now, you remember the Roman, we're all in under Roman order. "For indeed, we're in danger of being accused of a riot in connection with today's events." It won't go well for Ephesus if this keeps up in effect, what he's saying. "Since there is no real cause for it, and in this connection, we will be unable to account for this disorderly gathering." And saying that, he dismissed the assembly. So, people get stirred up about things. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1. Now, I'm connecting these two only because yesterday, as I was sitting out in my truck in the sun, with the window cracked, with just a little bit of a breeze, and I was reading. And so my next reading, and I had gone back to the part in Acts to think, is this a worthwhile place to pick up, talking about them and they're making their statues and the whole town getting all upset? So the next reading in the prophets I've been reading in Isaiah was chapter 44. And so when I start reading 44, I start seeing a connection between the two. Now, maybe y'all can put something else together that you hear this morning and we'll go on here. Of what's going on. You know, my problem is, like I tell you often, is that I tend to play the news sometimes to see what's going on in the world, what's going on in our country, and what craziness goes on in different cities and different places. And so a lot of stuff going on. And then when you read scripture, you go, well, there's always stuff going on. Down through the years, there's things going on. How can we make use of these things? And Karen, when we did the set today, I was thinking about this in Isaiah, and that we were singing, expressing things to God, how we feel toward Him. And then at different places, He would express things. And this back and forth, which is part of worship and song, which is a great thing to be going on. And it just, like, I was going, I can't make chapter 44 as tender as it was reading it. You know how you read something and you're just in a place where He's just there talking to you. And how our Judeo-Christian background goes, and how the prophets can say things. Sometimes God gets on to us through the prophets, whether it be the big names or the minor prophets, you know, or it just be a prophetic a voice of God saying something. And other times He can be just so tender toward us. Chapter 44, verse 1. Now, later in the chapter, there's going to be a connection with Ephesus, I think. We could use some stuff from it. But if nothing else, if we can just get in touch with what God is saying to us through the prophet Isaiah. Now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I've chosen. Now, Jeshurun means upright one, and it is it also translates like the beloved people. It's a poetic reference to Israel. So God is speaking through Isaiah, a kind of a tender pet name right there. And you, O Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour out water on the thirsty ground and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And they will spring up among the grass like poplars by springs of water. This one will say, I am the Lord's. And that one will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord, like a tattoo, and will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? He's saying, in effect, I have prophetic voices out there. I have things to say to you, you know, because I love you. And you are my witnesses, and there is no God besides me. Or is there any other rock? I know of none. If you're like me, there are days where you need scriptures like this, that you've got a little marker or something on those places, and that you need to go and visit them and get in touch with that again. Because my emotions, if I don't sleep, or I've had enough to eat or whatever, just stuff going on, I lose track of this. You would think, how could I possibly lose track of him saying things like this? But I do at moments. I listen to the little voices that's sitting on my shoulder telling me other things. And they're doing a good job, because I become fearful about X, Y, and Z. Is it a physical fear? Is it a financial fear? Is it a relational fear? Is it, I don't know, something. Just something to get me away from this. And then here, starting in verse 9, is the connection that I made with the Acts them and they're making their little statuaries. Those who fashion a graven image are all of them futile, and their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or know, so that they will be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, verse 11, all his companions would put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men. Let them all assemble themselves. Let them stand up. Let them tremble. Let them together be put to shame. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and then does his work over the coals and fashions it with hammers and working it with his strong arm. He also gets hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water, becomes weary. He's really working at it. Another shapes wood or extends a measuring line. He outlines it with red chalk. He works it with planes and outlines it with a compass and makes it like the form of a man, like the beauty of man, so that it may sit in a house. Surely he cuts cedars for himself and makes a cypress or an oak, or raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rains make it grow, and then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and he warms himself, and he also makes a fire to bake bread, and he also makes a god and worships it, and he makes it a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire, and over this half he eats meat as he roasts a roast and is satisfied. And he also warms himself and says, I am warm. I've seen the fire. But the rest of it he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. They do not know, nor do they understand, that he is smeared over his eyes so that he cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot comprehend. No one returns or recalls, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I burnt half of it in the fire and also baked bread over its coals. I roast meat, I eat it, then I make the rest of it into abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver himself, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Our country is in sorry shape. We have got men and women leading us in different political groups that think just like this. Now, they're smarter than, well, maybe they aren't. Maybe some of them have a closet at home. I mean, after all, one of them had bars of gold at home and didn't see a problem with it until others pointed out that, what are you doing with all that gold? And what are you doing with all that paper money stacked up in that safe at home? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's all kinds of people leading because they want political power. They just want power, and they sell their souls for power. So they got a graven image. They may not have made a little statue saying, this is what I want, but what I want is money and power and control. I want to tell other people how to live. I want to make a country of people like me doing that. I want to be like a god. I don't want to be something where we take different positions and then people vote. I don't want that. I want to be a ruler. I want to quietly, when they turn off everything and they just quietly talking to themselves, they're going, I want to be like the head of China. I want everybody to bow down to me. I want a whole country that bows down to me, and my enemies just accidentally get run over on street corners, just accidentally disappear. It's almost comical, except that it's not comical because it's really going on in different forms, in different places. So here we have very old things being said in scriptures. It's about the very same stuff. Is they're not worshiping the Creator. They don't believe that they're going to have to someday stand before him and be weighed. They really don't believe it's real. I can't figure out why they're like this, except that sin has a way of making us, as it says, miss the mark, like in archery. The missing of the mark, pretty soon they're not just missing the target, they're not even, the arrows are not even anywhere near where they're supposed to be going. And they go back inside proud of their being out there with their archery stuff and doing nothing of any importance. Back to Isaiah 21. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. Wherever you are today, wherever your loved ones are today, the Lord God says, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten those close to you, be they family members or children or parents, friends. I've not forgotten you. Verse 22, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. The hope for this nation is to return to God. The darkest of people can have an awakening. While there is breath in them, they can change. And then verse 23 goes like, Karen, it reminds me of the stuff we were singing. These are good reasons to shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord's done it. Shout joyfully, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth in a shout of joy, you mountains, O forests and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his glory. We're not just gathered here like this is a club meeting. He's here because two or three are gathered in his name. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, verse 24, the one who has formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things. I, the Lord, am maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself, spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to fall and making fools out of people that divination, you know, that dividing, trying to figure out what is going on, causing wise men to draw back and turning their knowledge into foolishness, confirming the word of his servant and performing the purposes of his messengers. It is I who says of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited. And of the cities of Judah, they shall be built. And I will rise up her ruins again. And it is I who says to the depths of the sea, be dried up. And I will make your rivers dry. He's saying this because this next line. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my servant. No matter who the king is somewhere, no matter who is ruling parts of the world, of the earth, he has that job, he or she, because God allows him to have it. And he will perform all my desire. It doesn't matter if they're in North Korea. It doesn't matter if they're in Iran. It doesn't matter if they're in China. It doesn't matter if they're in Russia. It doesn't matter if they're in the United States, anywhere, whoever has had the lead seat. They have the lead seat because God allows it. Declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundation will be laid. So that was the two things that I put together. So what are you hearing from this? Or you may have something else, something different. Okay, well, if y'all there watch online sometime, if you've got something to tell us, then put us a comment down there and tell us about that. Okay, Kyle, we'll turn our stuff off.